Good morning, ladies and gents. My name is Donald Galvin, and my middle name, taken at confirmation, is William. I was born July 31, 1943, along with my twin sister, Donna, and our birth was cesarean. My sister came first in the birth process, as she was the brave one and always defended me later when the need arose, while I was the shy one in my youth. My birthplace was Greenfield, Massachusetts, a town of about 17,000 people. The famous Mohawk Trail, which goes through Greenfield, is where tourists go in the fall to see the magnificent foliage. It was originally a Native American trade route. My parents were divorced when I was very young, and so I was raised by my mother, Margaret, my grandfather, William Francis, who I believe made his ascension, and my two aunts. I attended Holy Trinity School, which was taught by the Sisters of St. Joseph, and my favorite teacher of all was Sister Agnes Angela, who Donna and I visited much later in our high school years. She recognized us and said, "Oh, you are the twinnies." When I was young, I loved swimming and used to go to the Greenfield swimming pool every summer. Ice skating was another fun thing for me to do. When I was perhaps in the fifth grade or so, I joined the Magic Club, and I remember when we had our first public performance, one of the acts that preceded mine purposefully dropped a handkerchief on the stage floor. I saw it drop and proceeded from off stage to run out and pick up the handkerchief and give it to the performer, not realizing that was part of his act. Henceforth, I was known as Little Houdini. I was also a Boy Scout and a Sea Scout during my younger years. Growing up, I remember that I had the worst earaches, and nothing ever seemed to help to relieve them. I had one surgery at age 9 for emergency appendectomy, as my appendix was on the verge of bursting. Archangel Michael had to be watching over me. Our family prayed the rosary frequently, as we were raised Catholics, and often went to daily mass during the Lenten season. Our high school was brand new, and I looked forward to going there. I was very studious. I would come home, have a snack, and then do my homework for several hours every day. I also took the lead role in our junior play, which was great fun. During the summer, I would read all the classics I was able to, as I loved to read. I also worked one summer for a very short while in the tobacco fields, which I did not really like at all. Upon graduating from high school, I applied to Assumption College in Worcester, Massachusetts, with the intent of going for 2 years and then entering a novitiate to become a brother in the Assumptionist order. I won several scholarships, took out a loan, and worked on the switchboard at the college to help pay for room and board. My education was liberal arts. During the summers, I began doing oil paintings, which I really enjoyed doing, and had several of them displayed in the foyer at my college. After my 2 years were completed at the college, I went to Saugerties Met, New York, for novitiate training. There I met a wonderful friend who was both a scholar and an athlete. He taught me to throw and catch a football and really gave his 100% support in cheering me on, so to speak, as I was not athletic in that way. He later left the novitiate to become a philosophy professor. He made a strong and lasting impression on me. After about 5 months at being at the novitiate, I realized that this was not my calling, and so I left. I then worked in New York City for the remainder of the year at AT&T as a clerical worker until returning to Assumption College to start my junior year. After that year was completed, I took a year of absence before finishing my senior year and worked at the Assumptionist Provincial House on 108th Street in New York City. On the side, I also visited heroin addicts to be of some support. After graduating from college, my number came up for military duty. I actually enlisted in the Army, as I was able to choose officer training school by doing that. But once I realized it was a 3-year program instead of a 2, I reneged. So now I was a candidate for Vietnam in my training in Fort Dix, New Jersey, and later advanced infantry training at Fort Benning, Georgia, had begun. As I had been familiar with Edgar Casey and was reading his books quite voraciously, my choice, when I had a weekend leave once, was to visit the Casey Institute in Virginia Beach. Later, in an Army PX store or post exchange, I spotted Fate magazine, which had an ad showing Mark and Elizabeth Prophet, messengers for the Great White Brotherhood. Casey used that term, Great White Brotherhood, in one of his writings, and I wanted to know more about it, but never found any explanation in his writings. That was a key phrase for me, and so when I saw the ad, I immediately signed up for the Pearls of Wisdom and Keeper's Lessons. I was thrilled after reading several of the pearls and knew I had found what I was looking for. I then wrote the messengers and asked if I could join their staff. I knew nothing about conferences or seminars or summer university, and yet I knew I had found my mission. In my letter, I also raised the question of being a conscientious objector, as my nature was and is peaceful, and I did not desire to fight or kill anyone. I was told I should serve, and so I immediately followed the messenger's admonishment. When I got to Vietnam, I was smoking at the time and wanted to know the master's position on this, and so Mother wrote back telling me the protection the archangels were giving me would be compromised if I smoked. So I took one last cigarette and then crumpled the rest of the pack and threw it into the jungles of Vietnam. Such was the liberating power of knowledge and wisdom. Many of you may know of the miracle that took place when, after silently giving my tube of light, a marking round of heavy metal, heavy steel, came whirling over my head. I could hear this powerful whirring sound over my head as if a bomb were falling out of the skies. I grabbed my steel helmet, and no sooner had I done that than the heavy steel hit the ground and shattered. I was by grace spared, but the fellow on one side had shrapnel in his body, and the other fellow had his arm partly severed. Receiving my pearls and keeper's lessons in the jungle made my burden light. And even when I carried my backpack loaded with a new supply of food and water for the week and carrying my gun weighing altogether perhaps 80 pounds, it made my physical burden light as I made my trek through the thick jungle bushes and waters amid snakes and creepy crawling creatures. At the end of my tour in Vietnam, we were in an almost eye-to-eye battle with the enemy. It was very scary. And even though I knew the teachings in a fundamental way, I could not keep my solar plexus from shaking violently. What an experience, but thank heavens for the violet flame. Yes, the grace that came after was so wonderful. White fire came out of the blue and poured through my being the next night while preparing for bed, and it erased all my tensions and burdens. From time to time, my mother, the flame, would write to me, and she even said she had a bed prepared for me when I returned home. Home was in quotes and capitalized, meaning to me my journey back home to God. I took about a month leave after returning to the U.S., visiting family and friends, and trying to reach some of them with the teachings of the masters. Mother at some point called me and said that Moria told her none of my friends were ready for the teachings and that he wanted me to join staff and begin my service by May 15th, which I obediently followed. She also told me the masters had given me a lot of protection while I was in Vietnam. Praise God and heaven. I was assigned to work with Bill Harper, whose twin flame is Rose of Light, Tom Miller, and Florence in the Act Department. I would film the Pearls of Wisdom and Keeper's Lessons from a hard copy, and then the film would be made into a steel plate for printing. I also had the privilege of photographing My Soul Doth Magnify the Lord book. Tom would, from time to time, awaken me at 2 or so in the early morning to photograph a pearl of wisdom so it could go out in the mail in the next few days. That was a bit of a test for me, as I love my beauty rest. Ah. I also taught both Latin and French in the early days at Montessori School set up by the Messengers at La Tourelle. My nephew, Stephen, attended the school, and he had great fun after school was over, spending time with Uncle Kenneth and learning about the elementals and following him all around the place. They became great pals. I had the wonderful pleasure of knowing Mark and interacting with him on a number of occasions. What struck me most about him was his humility, his honesty, and his childlike nature. Thank you, Mark, for your example. My first live dictation was from the Maha Chohan, and as I understand it, your first live dictation is given by one of your sponsoring masters. One special treat for me was that my bed in the attic at La Tourelle was right on the other side of the tower where Mother wrote and did her clearance sessions. I was the recipient of being blessed by those high vibrations. Going to sleep at night was like going to heaven. In the early days of my training, I ran into Mother once in the basement of La Tourelle, and she came up to me and said, "You are so harmonious," and that set me sailing and soaring. If I had only kept my harmony throughout these years. Later on, after injuring my eyes, I worked with our dear friend Werner Zotter in the bindery. He was a joy to work with, and even though I was immensely saddened not working with Florence and Tom anymore, since those days, working at La Tourelle, I have counted that 8 men and 12 women, totaling 20, made their ascensions. I have been in good company and hope that much of their virtuous lives rubbed off onto me. One of the highlights I was privileged to experience was when Ruth Jones was in the hospital. Mother wanted all staff to visit her because she was going through the initiation of the Transfiguration. It was unforgettable. Light just poured from Ruth, and the whole room was filled with light. Later, when we moved to Pasadena, I worked in the correspondence department with Nelma Reese, Lloyd Lederman, and later Ruth Hawk. Both Nelma and Ruth are now ascended. During that time, I also worked part-time to make some extra supply and did jobs as waitering, guarding, and cashiering. One eventful night, the store I worked at was robbed by 2 guys who came in with sawed-off shotguns. I was all alone in the store. I was told to give them all the cash in the register and then lie face down on the floor. It all happened so quick, it seemed surreal. As soon as they left, I called the police. My hands were shaken. Reality had set in. Thank you, Archangel Michael, again for your protection. Later, I went to Minneapolis Teaching Center under Anise Booth's direction and Carl and Nancy Showalter's. During that time, I went to school to become a computer operator and later worked for Tennant Company, who makes those big cleaning floor cleaning machines, serving at the help desk where all calls with computer issues first filtered through me. It was a challenging job, and I eventually realized it was not to my personal liking. Once the teaching center in Minneapolis was sold, I moved in with my sister and nephew, who both had relocated from Santa Barbara to the Twin Cities. I continued to attend services at the new Minneapolis Teaching Center and also helped lead degrees. After that, I sold artwork for 19 years, working for G&B, Motion Graphics, Picturesque, and Art Effects. I love that work, and being a salesman helped me to become more outgoing. Currently, I work at a senior high-rise in Minneapolis. If I were to come back, though, I would love to do something in the field of music. In 2006, I learned that David was at receiving dictations. As I always like to investigate for myself, I went to the Heart Center website and immediately felt the power of the light pouring from the home page. Wow! I then read Lonello's 33 Heart Streams, which I truly relished. It's still asking for tangible proof that this was the real goods. The proof was flashes of blue lightning in the atmosphere. My first conference was at Techne, Illinois, where I experienced the masters at the foot of my bed in the early hours of the morning and smelt the strong aroma of roses coming from my heart as I witnessed in writing to what I was experiencing regarding the validity of the Heart Center. I have been blessed by many graces in the Heart Center, and I felt that going from the Summit Lighthouse to the Heart Center, for me, was like going from Pisces to Aquarius. I thank you, David, for taking up the torch from Mark and Mother. In summary, I would like to quote El Moria, "The trek upwards is worth the inconvenience, especially when you reach the goal of oneness with your solar presence and finally make the ascension. I have learned lessons of forgiveness, humility, and letting go of the ego, lessons of love and obedience, and lessons of patience. In summary, I am grateful for the teachings of the Ascended Masters, the Summer Lighthouse, and now the Heart Center, and of course for all heart friends. Ever onward and upward, ye fellow travelers on the path. Thank you for allowing me to share my story with you."
Well, thank you, Donald, for sharing your story. What a wonderful story. We so appreciate hearing all of your adventures, etc. I would like to ask one quick last question, and that is for a little bit more explanation when you said the heart center is like going into the age of Aquarius. Could you explain a little bit about that or tell one quick story about how the heart center has assisted you?
Okay. What I felt was, for me, firstly, this was, I had a lot of fear or Pisces substance when I was in Summer Lighthouse. But when I made the transition to the heart center, I felt the love, and that helped to transform me personally. So that, Kathleen, is how I experienced it. It was going into the field of love into the heart center once I left the Summit Lighthouse. Even though there was love at the Summit, I felt I dealt more with the Pisces substance.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you very much. People here listening in our audience are nodding their heads and saying the same thing for them. So you, Donald, who to me is Mr. Love himself, if you felt more love in the heart center, then that says a great deal. So thank you, Donald. Thank you so much. And thank you for all your daily meditations of Om Ram that you read in French. That's wonderful. And it was fun to hear that you used to teach French at Montessori International. So gives me a special connection with you as another MI teacher. So thank you, Donald, so much, and look forward to hearing from you again.
Yeah, thank you, Kathleen, for having me on. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Love to your sister,
bye.
Too. Okay, bye-bye.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.